This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
2017 is going to be a volatile economic year. We may see politicians throughout the world attempting to control central bank policies. Several renowned financial analysts have warned that political interference in central bank policies may mean our economic misses of inflation and growth targets. Gold is an international currency that can't be issued or controlled by governments. If you don't have the only hard currency that has outlasted every politician and every failed idea of governments for centuries, you need to speak to Goldline right now and learn how easy it is to add gold to your portfolio or IRA. Now is the time to diversify your financial portfolio by adding gold. Call 1-800-913-GOLD. Buying real gold is easy and fast at Goldline. And you're going to be happy that you finally made the call. 1-800-913-4653. Goldline also offers price protection against short-term market fluctuations on qualifying purchases. So buy with confidence. Read Goldline's important risk information and find out if buying gold is right for you. Call Goldline. 1-800-913-4653.
This Irish man stands with America. This is Freedom's Disciple with Jonathan Dunn on the Blaze Radio Network.
Hello, America. Thank you so much for tuning in today. This is the Freedom's Disciple podcast. I am your host, Jonathan Dunn. This is the show on the Blaze Radio Network where you come for the accent, but you stay for the principles. Happy Saturday. I'm back to my normal routine, and what a week it's been. There's a lot to discuss today, America. We're going to delve into yet another terrorist attack, but I want to talk to you about something. I want to give you an update on the terrorist attack, but I also want to link it into a couple of stories that have come out in America over the last couple of days, and I've got a plea for both Donald Trump and the Secret Service. But that's later on in the show. I've also got a couple of things I want to talk to you about. If you've been watching Capitol Hill this week, you'll have noticed, or maybe you've seen them, the show trials of Neil Gorsuch. Liberal politicians, it's unbelievable. I you know what? Anyone who wants to be a judge or a Supreme Court justice, I would just say, just think, you have to sit there for the first day of 3 days and just listen to politicians bloviate. I think that should be on the job description. And if you still want the job after that, I'd kind of go, are you a bit insane? Because I only watched the highlights and my head nearly exploded with certain politicians and what they had to say. But that's for later on in the show. I want to start today's show by having a bit of a heart-to-heart with you. Every time I come behind this mic, or any time I do interviews, or any time I'm doing speeches, I try and... I think if you've listened to me for even a couple of shows, or a long-time listener, you kind of get who I am. I am very positive about the future. I see so much potential in your people, in technology, and I really think that the future is still yet to be written in many ways. And I think this generation and future generations are going to have a large say in that. My aim and the responsibility I see that I have, I'm only one person with an audience, with a fraction of an audience compared to people like Glenn Beck and Mark Levin. And I appreciate you taking the time to tune in, but all I ever try and do is to try and get you to be inspired a bit and to do a bit more homework and for you to share the principles. That's all I see my job as and my responsibility as. But I see it in a responsibility to bring them in the most positive way possible. And as a person, I try and stay away from negativity. It's one reason I don't do insults. I find them very negative. But I want to talk to you about something, because this week has been really frustrating for me. And I want to have a bit of a heart-to-heart with you and kind of see, because I'm guessing you're having the same struggles if you're listening to shows like mine. And just to try and maybe one of you out there has the solution to this, because I sure as hell don't. I try and talk principles. I did a special episode of this podcast, and it was released on Monday afternoon. Hat tip and a big thank you to Brian, to Sarah, to Cal, to Chris for getting it out on such a quick turnaround. I recorded Monday morning, it was out by Monday lunchtime. That's very rare and it's only going to happen on special occasions, but I couldn't stay silent. If you listen to that show, it was basically about my Blaze colleague Tommy and her comments. And it was responding to it because she created a mess for conservatism and pro-lifers. The response to that show has been frustrating for me. And I want to have a heart-to-heart with you. I re-listen to that show several times. I do it for my homework because I always want to get better. But I got a lot of feedback and a lot of it wasn't positive from that show. So I re-listened several times to see if the feedback was right. First of all, I got criticized for being a sellout. Apparently, there are people out there who, and these are not connected to the Blaze in any way, but a few people said, you know, that it was unprofessional to quote-unquote attack a colleague. I didn't attack anyone. I would love to know, if you listened to that show, how could you see anything I said as an attack? I met her on the battleground of ideas. I listened to that show twice. And for me, I tried my best not to discuss Tommy. I discussed her comments. I addressed them in the first segment. But for the rest of it, it was talking pure principles and laying out the case about not redefining conservatism and being pro-life and a constitutionalist and believing in your founders. The other debates that I didn't get involved in, but they were responding on some comments on Twitter, was the whole debate of whether she should be fired. And then on Tuesday, I think it was, she was suspended. And then the whole, well, was it right that she was suspended? Was it wrong? How do we get to a point where we actually can just discuss principles and not discuss the bouncing ball of the news of the day? But for those who want an answer about whether I think Tommy should be suspended or fired, I don't have an answer for you. That's not my call. I find it amazing in social media the things we get distracted and talk about. So let's not talk about Tommy. Let's talk about me or you. If me or you had a problem with the company, actually, let's just make it about me for a second. I don't like doing this, but let's just play along. If the Blaze suspended me tomorrow for any reason, I wouldn't want it discussed in the public arena. If I was suspended, that is a conversation between me, Glenn, Dom, and ever who else is involved. That's it. It's not a public conversation. I know we've got access to social media where you can take pictures and share real-time information of pretty much anything. But the last time I checked, contracts and employment status were still, you know, private. Why is this incessant need to talk about someone's employment status? Is it different just because Tommy's in the public eye and you're not? I don't think that's... I personally don't agree with that. So I have nothing to say about her employment status or her suspension. That is a decision by Blaze Management, and it's nothing to do with me. And I can't influence it, so I don't see why I even want to discuss it. I also got told something, which I want to address. I've actually lost two friends over the last couple of weeks. Two people who weren't just people who I knew online, but two friends. And I consider them friends over certain things. And one I lost this week over this podcast. And I want to talk to you about that and what was discussed. For me, again, I see my role as talking about principles and history and philosophy and getting you to inspire you in some ways to do some more research and to think of things. Because I'm an Irishman, I grew up in Ireland, I'm an outsider. I see socialism and progressivism and big government statism or whatever ism you want to call it a mile away because I'm used to it. I've grown up in this culture. I see how these people, politicians and people around them think. So I've got a unique view, and that's why I share it. But I don't do it out to hurt people or to be insulting to people. I do it as a mission in the best way I can. But one of the criticisms that I got this week about that show was that I lacked understanding, and that people around the pro-life movement lack understanding, and that we will never change anything unless we start being understanding of certain things. And I want to... The reason I'm doing this is because I'd ask you to see if what your position is on this. So I thought about it. I kind of went, I'm sorry to this person. I don't want to be understanding. For me, abortion is horrific. And I'm not going to talk about abortion for too long, because I know people don't like that. But I want to make the point. I think it's wrong. I am pro-life, and I'm proudly pro-life. Because I think, honestly, to be blunt, and I said this on last week's show, if we don't have a respect for life, then how... I can't get passionate about any other issues. I can't go, well, I'm not passionate about, you know, the right to life, but I'm so passionate about your right to privacy, or your right to self-defense, or your right to free speech. If we can't have a right to life, then we have a right to nothing. But I don't want to be understanding of someone who thinks abortion is okay, of their position. Because I believe in absolutes in some cases. I believe right is right and wrong is wrong. There is no argument anyone can make at any time that says, hey, guess what? I have this argument and, you know, abortion's okay. I'm sorry, I've taught this issue a long, long time. I'm not a newbie to this issue. I haven't just all of a sudden woken up and said, oh, I think I'm pro-life. I've done a lot of sleepless nights on this issue and many others. Now, the problem, I think, with my friend at the time was that she equated understanding to compassion. I believe as a Christian, our job is very simple in many ways. It's to love the sinner but hate the sin. If someone came into me and said, hey, guess what, I was one of those people and I had an abortion, how would I respond? I'm not going to shun them. I'm going to love them. And if they talk about their abortion, you know, we'll have a conversation about it. But this idea that, you know, we need to be more understanding of abortion or of defense of abortion, I just can't. So I went off, I think it was Wednesday night. I didn't sleep too good because I was tossing and turning because my brain was looking for consistency. And this is how I think. And I equated it to some other situation. I kind of went, right, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I need to be more understanding. Maybe I'm at fault here. And the conversation I had with myself was, I was trying to put in some other situations of, well, do you want to be understanding there? And the first one that came to mind was a Blaze friend. And I've had the honor of interviewing him a couple of years ago. And he's a hero in my eyes. He's a wonderful man, and I couldn't do what he does. And that's Tim Ballard. For those of you who don't know, Tim Ballard runs Operation Underground Railroad. It's an incredible organization and does incredible, incredible work. If you've listened to Glenn's show, you're very familiar with Tim, even if the name doesn't strike a bell with you. He's the man who has teams going in to save people from sex slavery. So I put myself in that situation. If I was on one of his missions and I was sitting across from one of those people who worked in the sex trafficking industry, would I want to be understanding of their opinion? Would I want to hear and understand what they're saying and their justification for those acts? No, I wouldn't. If there was a rapist, you know, you hear about these horrific rapes, they're just becoming the norm in some certain places. Would I want to hear their justification of why they rape someone? No. just because I don't want to hear their justification or be understanding of what they did, which I believe is morally and ethically wrong, doesn't mean I'm going to hate them. Now, I will be honest, that the sex slavery people, I would try to be the best Christian I could, but I got to be honest. If I was on one of their missions, I think I would kill a load of people. I don't think, maybe I shouldn't put that out. I don't think I could sit across from someone who was selling 5- and 6- and 7-year and 8-year-old girls and boys and remain human or remain Christian. I don't think I could. And that's why I think Tim Ballard is a hero. Because I'm first of all, I think he was ex-CIA. So he could do a lot more damage to someone than I could. He's trained. I'm not. So to be able to do it and not have your soul crushed, because I would get up and try and beat everyone up. I'd try and do James Bond or Jet Li or some of those people, you know, or Jason Statham or Peter Rock, you know, if you smell. Or I'd cry. I just want to reach out to those kids and hug them because it's such a horrific life. So this is the conversations I was having with myself all week following this podcast. Do you ever have those conversations? Because here's the conclusion I came to, and I'd love to know what your conclusion was if you have ever had these conversations. Do we need to be more understanding? I think we need to love the sinner but hate the sin. I don't want to be more understanding. There are certain things, and this will be different for everyone. There are certain things that I think are just morally right and morally wrong. That is all they are. There is no grey patch. You either have a set of principles or you don't. Now, these might be different for other people. You know, people might want to say, well, I'll take it on a case-by-case basis. Fine. That's your decision. For me, there are just certain things I just don't need understanding about. But that doesn't mean I'm going to condemn everyone to hell. Because I'm a sinner as big as anyone else is. I try and live the best life I can, but I'm a deeply flawed person. I have many, many flaws. But there are certain things I just don't want to understand. Because I think they're wrong. But I will listen to you, and I will have a discussion with you, and I'll be respectful. Those of you who follow me on social media, when you see this show and when you see my writings, there's a lot of words and written and oral from me on around. They're not hard to find. If you want, I have my own website, Freedom's Disciple. You can find every article I've pretty much ever written and every show I've ever done. They're not hard to find. I don't get insulting. I find no interest in it. But I also don't have any interest in understanding why a sin is right. Where do you stand on this, America? I'd love to hear your opinion, and I'd love to hear your thoughts. Don't go anywhere, right? Because right after this break, I want to talk to you about a situation. I have a plea for both Donald Trump, but more so the Secret Service. And I want to give you an update on the terror in London that happened this week. I'll be right back, America.
Freedom versus freebies. This is Freedom's Disciple with Jonathan Dunn
on the Blaze Radio Network.
The progressive movement is full of lies. Why do Americans keep falling for the deception? In his new book, Liars, Glenn Beck reveals the simple answer, fear.
At our most basic level, we're all afraid of something, and progressives exploit this by offering us solutions to our fears. Solutions based on lies and an unrelenting hunger for power and control. Understanding the roots of these lies is key to helping us stop the disease of progressivism.
Liars by Glenn Beck. On sale now at glennbeck.com/liars.
Freedom versus freebies. This is Freedom's Disciple with Jonathan Dunn
on the Blaze Radio Network.
Thank you so much for sticking with me, America. As always, I am on social media. I'm not hard to find. If you go to Twitter, @FreedomDisciple, singular, and Facebook, @FreedomsDisciple, plural. Or you can also send me a friend request, JonathanDunn58, that's my personal page. Get involved. I would love to hear from you. I love engaging with you as much as possible. I do spend quite a bit of time debating with people online and discussing things in a principled way. And I do take as much time as I can to respond to your messages, to your comments, because I believe if you take the time out to comment or to send me a message, the least I can do is take out a few minutes of my time and respond to you. So unless you've been living under a stone, you will have known there was another terrorist attack this week. And in London. Now, just full disclosure, I'm recording this on Thursday morning. So I'm sure there'll probably be updates between you now and you hearing this on Saturday. But just I wanted to give you the latest update that I have. A terrorist decided, there was a terror attack in central London Wednesday. The attacker drove a 4x4 onto a pavement on Westminster Bridge. And he ploughed into pedestrians before finally crashing. And then he went to the outside the House of Parliament and got into the, I think it was the inner perimeter, and he stabbed a policeman. Police have revised the death toll to 4. PC Keith Palmer was the policeman who was stabbed outside the Houses of Parliament. A woman in her 40s, believed to be a mum of 2, a man in his 50s, and a terrorist. There are 40 injured at last count. Some with catastrophic wounds is the way the British police are describing them. 29 have been taken to hospital and 7 are in critical condition. On Thursday morning, or on Thursday in the middle of the night, your time, British police launched raids and I think there is 7 people arrested. It is yet again another horrific attack. But I want to discuss 2 things about with you with the terror. I just wanted to give you an update because you're listening to this on, at the earliest Saturday afternoon at 12 Eastern. So there's going to be several updates between now and Thursday morning and Saturday about this terrorist attack. So I don't want to give you an update or give you old information. I want to discuss a couple of principles with you. In a minute, I want to make a plea to both Donald Trump, but more so the Secret Service. But first, I want to talk to you about terror. I think we are at danger by the media, by the population, and the way these terrorist attacks are taking place of being asleep. If you ever watch people online, and you see the outrage after a terrorist attack, because it's a horrific event. And especially in these tourist places, if you've ever been to London and you wanted a picture of Westminster, this is pretty much where you go for the best picture. It's the most scenic picture. It's the most beautiful picture. It's beautiful. And this is exactly where they targeted. But you ever see the outrage? I'm sure you've seen it. And I'm sure maybe some of you have felt it, that my God, another terrorist attack. When will we wake up? I actually want to share a theory with you that I'm working on, that I actually think the more terrorist attacks that happen, the less likely we actually are to wake up. Let me explain the theory of my thinking behind this. And again, you can agree or disagree. But I'm watching these terrorist attacks, and I'm seeing, especially in Europe, a acceptance. It's just becoming the norm. Not an acceptance that they're good, but an acceptance that, yeah, they just happen. They're just part of our everyday lives. Because so many have happened. You had the mayor of London who is, don't insult him, John. I'm trying to think of a positive term, but I can't find one, so you can insert your insult here. the mayor of London saying, well, it's just the price of living in a big city, these terrorist attacks. It's just the price that of daily life of living in a big city. I think the more these happen, that we're not, the less likely we are to wake up, because we've just accepted them. It's just become commonplace to switch on the news, or if you're like me, which I'm guessing many of you are, or maybe more advanced, or I have an iPad, and I get alerts from Fox News, from CNN, from BBC, from Reuters. You just get this message on your phone of breaking news. You know, the economy added so many jobs this month. The Dow was up today by, you know, 2,000 points. Terrorist attack in these places. In London, in Paris, in Madrid. But I also think that the size and scope of these terrorist attacks are also measured against one of the worst we have ever seen in this world, 9/11. And we just scale down our opinion of it because of the size. Well, it's not 9/11. 3,000 people didn't die and buildings didn't crash into the street. You know, only 3 people died. And that's sad, but it's 3 people. It's not 3,000. I think many people in Europe have just become, this is just a day, just a norm. And the police just need to be better, and we need more police, and we need more surveillance, and we need less privacy, and we just accept it. I think, I haven't found the solution to this either, but I think we are at dangerous risk of falling into that trap. And I don't know how to get us out of it. But I also have a plea for Donald Trump and his Secret Service, more importantly. There was a story out last week, which I'm sure you heard, and this is going to America, hat tip Reuters. A man who scaled the White House fence last week was on the property grounds for 16 minutes before he was detained, the U.S. Secret Service said in a statement on Friday. Jonathan Tran, 26, faces a maximum sentence of 10 years in prison for entering the grounds without permission. He hopped the 5-foot fence near the U.S. Treasury Department, which is located next to the White House, and then climbed an 8-foot vehicle gate and a shorter fence near the southeast corner of the east wing of the White House grounds before he was caught. The Secret Service can confirm that at no point in time did the individual gain entry into the White House. Oh, well, that's okay then. He just got onto the grounds. He didn't get into the White House. Everything's okay, folks. But he was on the grounds for 16 minutes. He had a backpack. And I think there was mace in it and a few other things. I think one of his Donald Trump's books was in it. But he had a backpack. Then there's this story from last weekend. A heavily armed U.S. Coast Guard boat was seen patrolling the waters near Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort after a supporter of the president claimed to have sneaked into his office to take a selfie. The boat was pictured guarding the Lake Worth Lagoon not far from Trump's Palm Beach property on Sunday. Later on Sunday, Trump departed Florida on Air Force One, ending his fifth weekend at Mar-a-Lago since the beginning of his... That's irrelevant. The previous night, supporter Joseph Young shared a selfie on Instagram taken in the president's study at the resort with a painting of a noticeably younger Trump over his right shoulder. The alleged agent evader captioned the photo by saying the following cool statement. Because this is hilarious. Snuck by the Secret Service to catch this selfie. They might have told us not to go in there. Ha ha ha, you're so funny. Here's my plea. It is to Donald Trump because, first of all, you're the president, whether you like it or not, it's irrelevant. Whether you support him or not, it's irrelevant. Whether you voted for him or not, it's irrelevant. He's the president. And when you're the president, you have responsibilities. And one of them is to keep yourself safe. And the White House and the Secret Service have this responsibility. That's their oath. They're charged to protect the President of the United States. My plea is this, is to start worrying less about the tourist angle of the White House and how aesthetically pleasing it is, and more about doing your job, which is to protect the life of the President. Because I remember the days under George Bush after 9/11, there were snipers on the White House. And there were clear mandates. If you crossed that fence, you were shot. You were shot because you were at the height of war. I really hope that the Secret Service look internally, that Jason Chaffetz, who is one of the leading people on the Hill over this committee, over the Secret Service, look seriously into this issue. Because whether you like Donald Trump or not, he is the most powerful man in the world. Yesterday's terror attacks in London should show one thing. That they will target Parliament. That nowhere is safe. Now people say, well, you know, look, what damage did the terrorist attack do yesterday? What real damage was there? You know, what's the fallout from the terrorist attack? Well, there's two things. Let's just go to London. But it's apt for London, it's apt for America, it's apt for Europe. And that is, a lot of economies today, you know, have a large part to their success due to tourism. If people don't feel safe going outside into tourist places, guess what? They won't go. So your economy is affected. Those who live there, I've seen several conversations of people going, you know what? It's just not worth going out. I've heard those conversations. It's not worth going out into a public place. Let's just stay. Let's not go to the match. Let's not go to the concert. It's just not worth the risk. And also, it's too expensive, so let's stay home. That will affect your economies incredibly. And if you start affecting your economies negatively, you're going to have more economic hardship. And that's going to cause even more problems. But secondly, let's just focus on Donald Trump and the White House. This guy, Jonathan Tran, who jumped the grounds and was on the grounds for 16 minutes and had a backpack. It's not just about killing the president and killing Donald Trump. Can you imagine the propaganda that ISIS and all the terrorists stop? Let's say this Jonathan Tran was actually an ISIS fanatic. And he got into the building onto the grounds for 16 minutes, and there was a bomb in his backpack. And let's not go to worst case scenario. Oh my God, he killed Donald Trump as president, or he killed Vice President Mike Pence and caused a massive constitutional crisis. Let's not just go to the worst one. Let's just take something that would be relatively really bad, but you know, the best case scenario in that situation. Let's just say there was no casualties. Not even a Secret Service person was even hurt. But part of the East Wing, which had no one in it, there was a bomb exploded outside it. And part of the East Wing kind of fell. Or crumbled. Or is now black, you know, with the burn and the soot of a bomb. And there's a fire. Let's just take that. Can you imagine the propaganda that would inspire future people to get involved through ISIS? We got into the White House. One of their aims is to paint that house black and to raise the black flag of jihad over it. Can you imagine the propaganda online if that happened? Again, not even killing Donald Trump or Pence or anyone. Just the fact that you got into the White House and set a bomb off in any part of it. The propaganda that would inspire future people to get involved. If you can get into the White House, you can get anywhere. So my plea is this. Please, 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 Donald Trump and the Secret Service. I know tourism is important to a certain extent, but please have security as the first thing. And by the way, I would say this if Obama was president. Or Jimmy Carter was president, or even Woodrow Wilson was president. It's not about the person, it's about the office that they hold. And the symbolism that office holds is incredible. And the terrorists know that as well. And any type of attack like that is just, it would just have such dire consequences for both America, but also peace-loving people around the world. Because that would bring a further wave of attacks and more innocent people would die. And then going forward, I think it's time, and I'm working on a show for it. It'll be several weeks down the road on foreign policy. We really have to have some honest discussions about foreign policy, about how we deal with it, because tyranny is growing in this world. That nut job over in North Korea really is starting to push boundaries. And after launching missiles a couple of weeks ago at Japan, at the US, near the US naval bases in Japan, he is crazy enough, just enough, to go, I don't care, let's just go. Let's just fire them and see what happens. He won't care that America, if America responds, it will obliterate its country back to the Stone Ages. He doesn't care. He'll just see how much damage he can do. But that's a show for a future, for several weeks down the road, because I think it's time to re-examine the foreign policy and actually look at it through a principled lens. Don't go anywhere, America. I got still a lot to talk to you about. I've got an excitement segment I want to talk to you about, the Declaration of Independence. But up next, I want to talk to you about Neil Gorsuch and the show trials that are happened on Capitol Hill this week. I'll be right back, America.
This is Freedom's Disciple with Jonathan Dunn on the Blaze Radio Network.
Don't miss Pat and Stu.
You've heard it 100 times.
No, I don't think we have. I don't think so.
I don't think we have.
You always say it's a long story and then it never gets explained.
Right.
Because it's
almost
true.
Like he's scared to tell us.
I wrote
an article about it.
He's scared to tell us.
In Fusion.
Fusion. Yeah, that one that nobody saw.
Well, it's not my fault. You don't read, Jeffy.
Pat and Stu. Weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Blaze Radio Network.
Is Freedom's Disciple with Jonathan Dunn on demand.
Thank you so much for sticking with me, America. As always, this show is released every Saturday at 12 noon Eastern. There's a show every week, and then short clips are usually released every Monday. So just so you know, that's the schedule we're going with. That's the time. If you ever want to find new shows, or if you're a new listener, welcome. And you want to know when to look for future episodes. A new full show is released every Saturday, 12 noon Eastern. And then also we do the short clips, which is because I know you're all busy and sometimes you can't listen to everything. We do the short clips so that you kind of get a segment, so that you can listen to a segment or two and then maybe get you to listen to the full show later on in the week. I've still got a lot of things to talk about. Next segment, we've got a segment I want to talk to you about, the Declaration of Independence, a bit, because I think that's such a critical document and I'm going to be spending a lot more time talking about it. But right now I want to talk to you about Neil Gorsuch and the show trials of Neil Gorsuch that have been happening this week on Capitol Hill. And I kind of want to just break down a few things. I want to share some of the answers which I thought were really good. And there was one answer I did have a small problem with. It's not a big deal. I'm not saying, oh my God, this guy is horrible, but I think I want to make a bigger issue of it. And I would ask you, just so you know how I think, when I respond to people's comments, it's not responding to them per se. It's looking at the underlying principle. Well, we'll get there in a minute. I want to read something out to you, and I want to read out your Constitution. For me, the Constitution is a sacrosanct document, and we got to follow it each and every time. That is the litmus test for everything in my eyes. Article 3, Section 1. The judicial power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court, and in such inferior courts as the Congress may from time to time ordain and establish. The judges both of the Supreme and inferior courts shall hold their offices during good behavior, and shall at stated times receive for their services a compensation which shall not be diminished during their continuance in offices. Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution. And this is what I want you to really focus in on every word. The judicial power shall extend to all cases, in law and equity arising under this Constitution, the laws of the United States and treaties made, or which shall be made under the authority to all cases affecting ambassadors, other public ministers and consuls, to all cases of admiralty and maritime jurisdiction, to controversies to which the United States shall be a party, to controversies to two or more states between a state and citizens of another state, between citizens of different states, between citizens of the same state claiming lands under grants of different states, and between a state or their citizens thereof and foreign states, citizens or subjects. The trial of all crimes except in cases of impeachment shall be by jury, and such trial shall be held in the state where the said crimes shall have been committed, but when not committed within any state, the trial shall be at such a place or places as the Congress may by law have directed. Section 3 talks about treason. That is what your founding fathers put in Article 3 of the Constitution, which is the powers of the judiciary. Simply put, it's to talk about all cases in the law and equity under this Constitution and the laws of the United States and the treaties it makes. That is what they are to do. You will notice in there is no mention of parties or of presidents, of politicians. So some of the highlights. I was very impressed. I didn't get to watch all of it, but I got to watch the highlights and different parts. The one thing I will say, it's refreshing to see a guy who is so clearly just a nice guy. Whether you agree with him or not, he doesn't come across as angry. He doesn't come across as in your face. He's just very, very, just seemed like a very friendly, nice guy. So some of the highlights. One of the things I think he wanted to really emphasize, and I don't know whether this was attacked or not, but I agree with it because I think it's so important, and I think this is who he is, but he really emphasized it if you watch some of the hearings. He said many, many, many times, I'm a fair judge. I think that is critical. He spoke about how he participated in 2,700 opinions and he was a fair judge. He judged the case by its merits. And I think one of the things that really struck me was in this era of bipartisanship and politics and left versus right and Republican versus Democrat and all litmus tests, he spoke openly about how he didn't ever want to be a judge over someone over a case where one of the litigants in the case kind of felt he was going to be biased and already had made up his mind. And I think that is so critical in this day and age. I think open minds are critical. He also spoke about, which I can't believe this is, I can't believe that we have these type of questions, but he was asked about had he made any promises on future rulings. And he obviously said no. He said he'd keep an open mind for the entire process. I don't see how we can, this constant need to have promises and to rule a certain way. The only way in the litmus test, in your constitution, is to rule by the constitution that arise under this constitution. That is a Supreme Court justice's job. Is it constitutional or not? Yes or no? Now, I do disagree with, and I don't know whether Neil Gorsuch said this or not, I do disagree with 99% of people when it comes to the addition of precedent. For me, the first question is, is it constitutional or not? Is it in the Constitution? Yes or no? That, you know, kind of sums up a large part of the argument for me. Then I would look at precedent and case law and see what other people have said. But it seems to be the opposite in a lot of cases where it's, what's the precedent say? And then, oh, well, maybe I'll go see what the Constitution says. But that's just me. I think I'm in the vast minority of that. The one thing he said, and again I agree with, another highlight he spoke about, there's no such thing as a Republican judge or a Democratic judge. I think he went on and said another time that he's an American. There is no politics on the judiciary. He spoke about he had no difficulty ruling against any party, which I think, again, if you want the Supreme Court justice to be loyal to a party, be very careful what you ask for, because if you go down that road, you're not going to have a good Supreme Court. If you're basing on parties, not on principles, you're judging then on man's law. his opening statement, if you go onto YouTube and just YouTube, his opening statement, I would encourage everyone to do that. It was a very good opening statement. He also dodged some stupid comments, stupid questions very well. He was very respectful. Because there are times when, and as much as I try and be a nice guy, when it comes to politicians, honestly, I struggle. You know, this, when I see Dianne Feinstein, I want to bang my head off a brick wall, just going, oh my God, kill me now. I'm sorry, politicians bring bad sides out of me. But, you know, it's amazing people who think they're experts or who in certain circles are considered, you know, well, very smart on certain things. One of those people is Lindsey Graham. You know, you're very smart on law and legal things. I think Lindsey Graham is an idiot on many things, including the Constitution and legal matters. But he asked a question. Can you tell me if Roe versus Wade was decided correctly? And then he asked if President Trump asked him if he'd ever return it. And Gorsuch replied by saying he would have walked out the door. First of all, Lindsey, I don't know if you know this, but a president doesn't get to decide what cases are heard before the Supreme Court or not. It's not a case of, hey, I'm the president, regardless of who the president is or who the judge is. Hey, can you overturn this ruling in the Supreme Court? No, because that's not how our system works. Someone brings a case and it eventually will go through the legal process and eventually it will become to the Supreme Court after several cases beforehand. And then the Supreme Court will decide whether to hear it or not. And if we do, then I'll make my judgment. But just going, hey, can you overturn it? It just doesn't work that way. That's not the system. But also, I thought his answer, you know, was very... I would expect that type of question from a liberal or a progressive or someone trying to snap him, not from a Republican, trying to get a Republican-nominated judge elected. I would encourage you to go, if there's... In fairness, actually, the best highlight package I've seen is the Denver Post. If you go to Denver Post, Neil Gorsuch, confirmation hearing videos. They have many different little highlights, and I would encourage you to watch them. However, he did say one thing which I was unhappy with, and I didn't agree with, and I want to talk to you about that principle. He said on Tuesday, I believe it was, that he said attacks on the judiciary and on federal judges are disheartening and demoralizing. Can we get to a point in society where we don't put anyone on a pedestal and say, hey, you know what? You shouldn't... I don't agree in attacking them, but, you know, you shouldn't... You're not above reproach. There is no one. President, politicians, judiciary, churches. No one is above reproach. And that was the one real struggle. His answer on that I found really struggling. Because... Sorry, that was a highlight coming up. He said, the way I equate it, and this is why I really struggle with it, because you're running, or not running, sorry, you've been in the confirmation process to join a very select group of people. There hasn't been a lot of people. There's been many firefighters, there's been many police officers, there's been many people work on Wall Street. You're in a very select club when you're a Supreme Court Justice. Very select group. There are only probably, 200? I think there was about 230 in the history of America. I'm not sure. That's just off the top of my head. You're in a very select group. You're not among nine people in a land of 330 million. You're going through confirmation process and you're saying, yeah, you know what? The job I'm running for, or not running, because that's not the right word, but going for or going through the confirmation process, that job, I don't think you should be able to be attacked for. Now, do I think you should be able to be attacked and called a moron, an idiot? No, that doesn't help. But I think we need to stop having these people who think they're above reproach. Because the first question when I saw this and I read this article about it, I kind of went... So what would you... My first question was, I'd love to ask him a question. Well, what about John Roberts on Obamacare? Where it was clear he changed his opinion on the last day. You read that opinion, it's not consistent. So should we just accept that, or what do we have to do? because I don't think anyone is above reproach. When I see some of, like Ginsburg, Ginsburg is a perfect example. Ginsburg has spoken openly about how, you know, she admires other constitutions more than the American Constitution. Should we just accept that? You know, if when I have spoken out about that in the past, is that wrong? Is that disheartening? Is that demoralizing? That is the only thing I have found that I've disagreed with in 3 days from this man. His temperament is good. He talks about being a fair judge. He spoke about his oath to the Constitution. That is one he will fulfill. That was very positive. By all stretches of the imagination and by reading things, he is very much an original justice. In some ways, he's actually better than Justice Scalia when it comes to Chevron deference, which is an issue we can talk about another day, because I think that's actually a very interesting topic. But I think it's going to be a question of will they confirm or not, him or not. But he seems like a very good judge. But I did have to bring up the principle. What point in time do we say you're above reproach? Do you think that's a healthy example to be above reproach, no matter what you do? You know, no one is above reproach. No one is above being questioned. And I firmly believe Thomas Jefferson was right. We need to question with boldness, everyone, even the very existence of God. That is what makes us better. Because as Thomas Jefferson put in that famous, famous quote, surely God would much prefer the logic of reason than that of blindfolded fear. I think we need to question with boldness, everyone. And if Neil Gorsuch is, and hopefully he will be, confirmed to the Supreme Court, I think he will make a very good justice. He has the potential, reading some of his past decisions, reading his record. He seems to be very fair, and he seems to also be very much about the Constitution. And last time I checked, the Constitution didn't belong to left or right or either party or either president. It belonged to the people, and it belonged to your country. And that is all I think anyone can hope for. Don't go anywhere, America. I'll be right back after this quick break. And I got one last thing I want to talk to you about. I'll be right back.
Freedom's Disciple with Jonathan Dunn. On demand. On the Blaze Radio Network.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-803-6951.
Freedom's Disciple with Jonathan Dunn on the Blaze Radio Network.
Thank you so much for sticking with me, America. I hope you've enjoyed today's show and it's given you some food for thought. We have discussed a lot. We had a heart-to-heart in the first segment. We discussed the terror and Secret Service issues in the White House. And again, I repeat my plea to the Secret Service and Donald Trump. Please sort out your security in the White House. We discussed Neil Gorsuch, and now I want to discuss, just finish up today's show by just discussing a small principle with you, that I'm seeing a growing trend on social media, but I want to respond in a principled way and lay out some history for you as well. One of the things I'm going to take on as a responsibility and I'm going to share with you in the most entertaining and encouraging way possible is more about your founding fathers and your history. Because I know certain people don't share my love of history, and if I discussed what I would discuss, it would put a lot of people to the sleep. But one of the things I want to try and do is focus in on your Declaration of Independence. Talk about the words, but also talk very much about the spirit behind it. It's why, not going back to last week's show about responding to Tommy, I spoke about nature's law and nature's God. They're terms you're going to hear a lot more on this show of. But also that the spirit is critical. So I want to read something to you from your Declaration of Independence, just to get you thinking on this Saturday, or this weekend, whenever you listen to this show. And it's from the second paragraph. Because everyone can quote the start of the paragraph. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal. They have certain rights from the Creator, certain inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Or life, liberty, and property is the original meaning. But I want to read something that is just underneath it, but that is critical to the point I want to make to you right now. And I quote, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and their happiness. It continues on later on, just a couple of sentences down. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same objective evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, sorry, I can't speak, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for future security. The key words I want to hear, I want to talk about right now, is everyone talks about today, we need to stop this. We need to destroy this. We need to put a halt to this. Your founding fathers were very smart men because they said it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it. Absolutely right. But they went on. They talked about your right, but they also talked about your responsibility. And to institute a new government. They talked again later on about your right, that you have a right to throw off such government, but you also have the responsibility to provide new guards for their future security. Freedom without responsibility does not work. You cannot have a conversation about rights and freedom without having a conversation about responsibilities. The spirit behind this is incredible, because your founding fathers, contrary to public opinion in 2017, and liberal media, was they were very well educated, very well read men. They just didn't sort of among themselves kind of go, hey, what do you think the Constitution should be? Or what do you think the Declaration of Independence should say? Your founding fathers read. Your founding fathers took a lot of stuff. If you read the Declaration of Independence and Constitution, you will see a lot of quotes from Scripture there. They read great men, great philosophers, both in a positive way and a bad way. They were very familiar with their works. And they looked around the world and said, hey, what did everyone else do? How can we improve it? One of the reasons, America is a great nation, an exceptional nation, is because of that responsibility. It is your right to alter and abolish certain things, but you also have that responsibility to institute new government. Because here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, anyone can destroy something. It doesn't take any brain power to go, I don't like that, I want to destroy it. Whether it's right or wrong or noble or not. You can destroy it. Just go, I don't like it. I want to destroy you. Doesn't take much brain power. What takes brain power and what takes convincing, what takes debate, what takes arguments, what takes discussions, is instituting new governments. To instituting new guards and new safe places. It's with this in mind, I've been seeing a lot of people online commenting the following, and I've seen this meme go around, variations of it with different words, and it's basically this woman with her, you know, that look you have, you know, when your eyeballs are all big and your eyebrows and are really up and you're just like wide-eyed, you know, like, oh my God. It's a picture of this woman with glasses and her eyes are like massive, and it's basically saying, happiness is pissing off a liberal. I've seen many people online go, I wake up every day just wanting to, you know, annoy a liberal. Just to get in their face. I find that so sad. First of all, if your happiness comes from annoying someone else, I would seriously ask you very respectfully to sit down and have a very, very long reevaluation of your life. Because your happiness coming from annoying someone else isn't exactly, I don't know, isn't exactly a sound mental capacity. I can think of many things that make me happy. Spending time with my mother makes me happy. Spending time with my dog makes me happy. Spending time researching makes me happy. Spending hours upon hours on phone calls about radio and about helping people get a start in radio, talking about philosophy, talking about principles, makes me happy. Annoying someone? No. No, not at all. But it all boils back down to the way we talk to people. What is the aim when you engage with liberals and the left? And you, the way some people call them, the enemy. Is it just to annoy them? Is it just to tear them down? Is it just to throw insults at them? Because that's the easy thing. The easiest thing is just to destroy something. It's what the rest of the world has done quite well over many, many decades and centuries. The hard thing is to build people up. Anytime I engage with someone, I don't want to... If you watch me, again, there are many, many thousands upon thousands of words, both written and oral, from me. I don't ever want to tear anyone down. I want to build people up. I want to show people the light. I want to make the argument. I really hope Americans are reintroduced to their founding fathers, because they were really great men and they were really unique and really exceptional. And they charted this course for you. And they gave you the groundwork with the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. That's your roadmap to get to where you are an exceptional nation yet again. But tearing people down, annoying people, how do you win? Let's just take the whole, let's just forget the principle aspect. Let's get the whole election side. How do you win? Because you hear the Republicans talking about this all the time. We need a large tent, a big tent, a welcoming tent. Well, how do you build that big tent? I'm not saying that's a good thing, by the way. Just let's say it is. How do you build that big tent? Do you build it by annoying people? Do you, to use this language, do you get that big tent by pissing off a liberal? Have many times you ever had in your life kind of gone, oh, there's that big tent of people. They really annoyed me and upset me. Yeah, I'm going to go join them. You ever see that happen in life? You ever felt that one that way? I really hope to live in a world one day, and the way social media is going, this might be a pipe dream, I don't know. But if you dream it, it can come true. If you visualize it, it can happen. I really hope to live in a world one day where we're better than just wanting to annoy people. I really hope we live in a world where, not, I don't ask for you to agree or disagree with me. I don't want people who share the exact same opinion as me to be around me. We're challenged by people who have different opinions. We become better when people have different opinions. But I really hope we live in a world where we can actually meet on the battleground of ideas and not on the battleground of insults, the battleground of demeaning comments, and the battleground of discussing people. I don't see any benefit in any of those. I see a benefit in meeting on the battleground of ideas. And for as long as I can, I'm going to be doing everything I can to meet anyone on the battleground of ideas, but also to share your founder's wisdom. I wish I could sit here and kind of go, hey, guess what, America? I had this great wisdom. I had this epiphany. Am I a smart person? I don't. What I have is appreciation for great men and women. And they are your founders. These are not my principles. I wish I was sitting on the opposite end of this microphone and you telling me how great your country was and you telling me how great your founders were. But sadly, it doesn't seem popular, or it doesn't seem, maybe there's a narrative behind the scenes where they don't want people to know your founders are great men. I don't see it been discussed a whole lot, with the exception of a handful of people. And that is why I'm adding my voice to that list. Because as long as I'm around, I will talk about the greatness of your founding. and the principles behind it. Because principles, if you believe in eternal principles, they were the same at the time of Christ. They were the same at 1776, and they're the same today. Because they are eternal, they are right, and they are true. And I will continue to add my voice to them at every opportunity. I hope this has given you something to think about, something to chew on for the weekend. As always, we finish the show the same way we do each and every week, by saluting the heroes in society, your police, your firefighters, your emergency personnel, and your vets, the men and women who risk it all 24/7 for our freedoms, for our security, and to stand against evil in this world. And this week we salute the police all over the world, including Great Britain right now, who are under pressure. Keep them in your thoughts and your prayers. And lastly, I salute you, the great American people. If you heard nothing in this show and nothing went into your brain bar this, just remember this. America is great because Americans are good. America is great because Americans are good. Never stop being good, because your future is still got a lot of potential in it. Until next Saturday at 12 noon Eastern, America, God bless, and God bless America.
Freedom's Disciple, on demand.
On the Blaze Radio Network.